Let's worship him a while. Hallelujah. Amen. How many love to worship Jesus? How many are going to worship him forever? Amen. Hallelujah. This is the beginning of forever. Right now, today, it's the beginning of forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Someday time, which is a created thing, will run out, but we're going forever. The mind kind of leaks out on that, doesn't it? Forever. It's a difficult concept for us to grasp with our mind, but it's just eternity. We say infinity. Amen. It's going to go on forever and ever. Glory to God, to worship the King, the one that redeemed us, the one that saved us, the one that forgave us, the one that gave us new life, the one that lives in you. Hallelujah. On the inside of us, the one that changed us from darkness to light. The one that came and made his home on the inside of us, adopted us into his family. Hallelujah. Good news. Jesus is alive and he's coming again. We're in the end time. We're getting ready for the great move of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The power of God, the greatest time for the church to be alive. Hallelujah. He is coming with great power and with great glory. And then the end shall come. The gospel will be preached in all the earth. For men are hungry. Men need to know the truth. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God by him, but by him. But he will deliver us. He will sustain us. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will protect us. He will save us. He will keep us. Hallelujah. Because he's the keeping God. He's the forgiving God. He's the loving Father. He's the one that's going to guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us the great I Am. He is who he is, who he said he would be. He said, I am that I am. Hallelujah. There's good news in the house tonight. I don't know why I'm so excited, but my spirit began to rejoice as we worship God. And I begin to see that these are the times that God has put us in. Hallelujah. This is the time that God caused you to be alive and I to be alive. This is our generation. This is our time to shine. That we'll shine as stars in the universe. Like the stars shine in the universe, we'll hold forth the word of life. And people will see and they'll come running to Christ. Because we want them to see the who he is. There'll be no denying who he is. Some may reject, but others will come. And they'll be saved and they'll be freed. They'll be delivered and set free. They'll be healed. They'll be made new. Relationships are going to be put back together. Amen. Husbands and wives, children and fathers. This is a great time to still be alive in the church. Though the world looks like there's darkness all around us, the church is going to rise up and shine. Hallelujah. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, she's got some problems right now. Yeah, it doesn't look too good right now. We need to see that. If you don't see where you are, how are you going to know where you're going? Amen. We know that it needs to change. We know that it needs to change course. But guess what? The Bible says when there was chaos upon the earth, the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. And he's hovering over the earth tonight. And he's hovering over the church tonight. Why? Because he's not finished with her yet. The church is still going to arise. The church is going to come forth and it's going to be who she's called to be. A church without spot. A church without wrinkle. Hallelujah. A glorious church. A triumphant church. One that's overcoming. One that can't lose because the greater one lives on the inside of her. And they begin to see who we are. Hallelujah. We are his sons and daughters. We're not something to be ashamed of. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have the Master. We have the King. And we have the answer. Hallelujah. We have the answer to man's dilemma. Man's dilemma is he doesn't know God. Without God, the Bible says, if you don't believe there is a God, the Bible says you're a fool. You're lost. You're undone. They're in darkness, crying. I mean, the picture is, it's a person that's just laying there as if like you would see a person laying down in a fetal position, just lost, no hope, no desire, no hope without God in the world. They are lost. They don't know what to do. They're doing what they think they know to do, what seems right, and follow their Lord, which is the devil. They don't even realize that. You know, they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. The enemy comes, amen? He comes to try to cause people to do things. Why do you think people kill themselves? Because he talks them into doing it. He can't do it himself. He lives in a spiritual realm. And he doesn't care if you're saved or unsaved. He wants you off the earth. He hates man, period. Everybody says, oh, that attack came because I'm serving God. No, it came because you're a human being. The Bible says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. In other words, good and bad happen to good people and bad people. The saved and the unsaved. We all live in this world, and there's some things that people go through and some things we don't understand. Most of it's just because we have an enemy. The enemy of our soul, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to try and take the reasoning of man and make it his own. He says, you're not who God created you to be. You're not someone created in the image of God. You're just nothing. Or he tries to make them think they're everything. Well, you're something. You are God. Isn't that what he said to Adam and Eve? You'll be as gods. You hear people today, oh, I am God. That's really what they, that was not too many years ago. That was a big thing for a while, Oh, I am God. That's who I am. What I decide is what's right. And we are evolving, more and more to be greater, to be more enlightened. We're just evolving. We got to find our inner self. Your dead spirit is going to put you in hell. Whew. Wow. That's where it's going to put you. There's a real literal hell. Some people are saying there's not. And I'm telling you, there is a literal hell. It burns forever and ever. It's unquenchable, where the worm doesn't die. There's punishment and torment forever and ever. Some people say, oh, we're living in hell. A little torment in this life. Paul said the sufferings that we have in this life are not to be compared. They're not compared to the glory, and they're not compared to the destruction that comes to man. We need Jesus in this hour. We need Jesus in the church today. We need men and women that are coming back to God, that are going to rise up and say, no, I'm taking a stand for the truth. I'm not going to bow my knee. Hallelujah. Even if you want to burn me at the stake, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do it. I said, are you sure? Well, I'm not there yet. So maybe I'm not sure. But I believe I will. I've made my decision. Even if you kill me, I'm still going to serve him, but he will protect me. But if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow to your God. I'm still not going to bow to your religion. I'm still not going to bow to that nonsense that's not true. Hallelujah. Because the devil is a roaring lion. The Bible says in the last days he's loosed in the earth. He's trying to destroy man. We can see it all over the world right now. All over the place. Spirit of religion rising up, trying to destroy man. It'll make you crazy. I think that's what Gary said one time, wasn't it? Make you crazy. Spirit of religion makes people crazy. Hallelujah. But anyway, didn't know I was going to say all that. But glory to God, I just get excited. The fire of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God is going to prevail in this place also. What God called this church to do. Go far enough into God to help bring out that revival. Hallelujah. Amen. Bring it to the religious city. Bring the power of God, the presence of God, the love of God, the life of God, the very life that lives on the inside of you and I. The same life that was in Christ is in us. Hallelujah. That same life. Glory to God. It was poured in there. How? When the Holy Ghost quickened us, made us alive together with him. Joint heirs, made us absolute sons, changed us completely from that darkness to pure light. And we can learn to walk in that light. See, the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, or the lamp of the Lord. Hallelujah. Searching all the inner parts of the belly, or all the very deepest parts of man, come from the inside out. And all permanent change comes from that same place. When we give ourselves to God, that change begins. And as we continue to seek after Him, we continue to mature, and there's more change in our life. We go from glory to glory, from one degree to another. If you're born again, you're on a road to glory. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! And your destination is the fullness of the glory of God. If we keep pressing in, if we keep going forward, we're not going to stop, because this is a day and a time in which the world needs the church of God. Hallelujah! The church as a whole, rise up! Coming forward. And you have a part in that, to help other people to come forward with God. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of opportunities around us every single day, every night. I work at the day center, so I get to see the best. You know, everybody says, well, Tulsa's in revival. I'm just going to tell you right now, Tulsa's in revival. Well, I've been looking around, brother, and I'm not moved by what I see. The Bible says we're to be moved by what God said, not what I see. Hallelujah. We're not moved by what we see. I said Tulsa's in revival. That's what we say, and that's what we have. There's nothing less than revival for Tulsa. Well, it certainly, I don't care what it looks like. I said Tulsa's in revival. The other question is, are you in revival? I say I'm in revival. Amen. How many say you're in revival? Hallelujah. I'm in revival. What is revival? It's God getting to do what He wants to do. Amen. It's called change. What I've kind of boiled it down to for myself, because we could ask all kinds of people in here. We probably get some different answers. Of course, we have our definition of what we're talking about. The last days, outpouring of the glory of God and the power of God and the life of God being poured forth till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. We've got a revival that's here. It's working. It's growing in power. Hallelujah. It's growing in power all over the earth. Men and women are being swept in. Hallelujah. Even though people are being killed, they're being martyrs for the Lord, yet there's people that are still coming to kingdom. Hallelujah. Though the devil rage, he cannot stop this mighty moving force of the church of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are bought with His blood. He does own us. He does love us. And He loves us enough not to leave us in a condition where we're going to be wiped off the face of the earth, bless God, but we're going to reap a harvest, and this church is going to grow, and this church is going to manifest the very glory of the living God before He comes back, and every knee shall bow. Hallelujah. And every tongue will say, well, one thing for sure, that must be God. Hallelujah. How many believe in the living God? How many believe that the life of God's in you? See, we got to see who we are. We've got to realize and recognize the Holy Ghost lives in me. Hallelujah. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. We were singing about it. Does it still make you happy? Or have you forgotten? Hallelujah. That the Holy Ghost is with me. The Holy Spirit Himself lives in me. The life of God is in you. The love of God, the resurrection power of the living God, because the same life that raised Him from the dead dwells in you. Yes. Hallelujah. And He said, now walk in that newness. Walk in the newness of that life. Hallelujah. There's life in God. And He says, oh, it's boring. But why is it boring? Why is it boring to know God? Why? Why do people say it's boring to know God? Because they don't know Him. Hallelujah. And it's all good. It's wonderful. I like to hear good preaching. I like to dance and sing. But I love to just spend time with my Father. To just take a day and pray. And maybe take 4 or 5 hours and just pray in the Spirit. Let him love on you. He's just in you. You know. Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? Here I am. Here I am, Lord. It's wonderful. The relationship that we have with a God that loves us. You see, that's what he's really after. All the power is wonderful. All the power is glorious. But the power does not make a disciple of the Lord. The power of God does not make you a disciple. But knowing him does. Following after him does. Doing what he said does. Amen. What does he say? He says, oh, well, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow after me. Lose your life. Compare to your love for me. Hate your wife. Hate your children, your family. Hate your possessions, your own life also. Learn to become a servant. Become obedient, even to the point of death, just like Jesus did. He became obedient. Left everything. Took on the form of a man. And became obedient, even to the point of death. Death on the cross. That God would highly exalt him. The Bible says if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord in due time, he will exalt us. Hallelujah. For he's already set us far above all the power and work of the enemy. Seated with him in heavenly places, far above. Far above. Well, look what the devil's doing. Well, yeah, we got to look down. Look down at what he's doing. Not around. Look down. Because you're far above that. You're far above that wars and rumor of war. You're far above that tragedy. Tragedy hits people in life. And some people here tonight may be listening to me. Maybe by video or here tonight. You said, my life is just a wreck. Hold on. God's not finished with you yet. Everything's chaotic. Well, in the beginning, when everything was chaotic, the Holy Spirit began to hover. There was silence. You know, what was he waiting for? What was he waiting for? He was hovering. He was waiting. He was waiting for the spoken word of God. And when God said, there was light. Chaos ceased. An order came into being. And God is getting ready to say some things in your life. And what's chaotic is going to come into order. Hallelujah. When it looks like nothing else can work, I'm telling you, God knows how to come to you and solve your problem. He knows how to reach that loved one. He knows how to reach that son or daughter. He knows how to reach that husband or wife. He knows how to reach that brother or uncle. He knows how to reach that cousin. He knows how to reach those people in your life. All the people that you work with, he knows how to reach them. But they're so wicked. Well, how many know that if you don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter what you do, you're still wicked because you don't know him. You're of your father, the devil. Everybody says, well, you know, sometimes people would... I used to go to certain places when I was like these young people over here, and we'd go outside, not in the bar, but we'd go outside the bars and talk to people every Friday night. Every Friday night we'd be there. And, you know, if you're consistent, you know, people kind of get used to seeing you and hand them a track. Well, you know, oh, you hand me one last. Did you read it yet? No, but I'm posting them up on my wall, you know. He's putting them up like wallpaper is what some of them said. But we have, you know, some people say, well, aren't you afraid of them? I said, why no? That's the guy that works next to you. Or the girl that's working next to you. What do you think they do? They do what the devil wants them to do. They do what sinners do. They sin. You know, so they go out and have a drink and, you know, maybe get drunk, maybe not, you know, find somebody to have fun with, maybe, maybe not. Trying to find who? Who are they trying to find? They're trying to find love. God is what? Love. They're trying to find their Father. They're lost without God in this world. And there's many people in this world today that have broken hearts, face tragedy. I was talking to a fellow the other night, and I thought, you know, maybe they're doing better than I am, you know. His brother died in his arms when his brother was 19 years old. Caused his mother to go into the insane asylum, basically. Drove her insane. She couldn't handle it. Got married, had a child. The child died at 8 months of SIDS. Rolled over in the crib, died. Said, I'm hearing voices. I don't know what to do. You know? But they got some medication for me. It's helping me. It's good. You know? But those things can only be healed by one man that I know of, and his name is Jesus. The Bible says that God is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. We can't produce a result because of the things of this flesh, the things that come upon man, the tragedies that hit man, the destruction that the enemy tries to bring, and just living in the world, sometimes things just happen. Everybody says, what was the devil? Well, you know, there's natural laws. You jump off the top of the building, you're probably going to break your leg, you know. It's just, you know, you're going to be injured, you know. But the enemy told him to jump off, you know. Maybe he turned him into it. Or if you fell off, you know. Not everything. I don't believe every little thing is just the devil. Some natural things happen. But there's a lot of things that are him. I remember the guy that came in the other night, a few nights back into the day center, and hadn't been there in a little while. I said, where you been? He said, well, I just hadn't been here for a while. I don't know. I was in the hospital. I wanted to kill myself. That's when I could take no more. Fire me. Kick me out. Whatever you want to do, I'm going to talk to you. And somehow everybody disappeared. They were gone. I don't know why, but it was me and him. I stood at that counter and I said, let me tell you something, sir. That's a devil talking to you. That's a demon trying to convince you to kill yourself. What you need is to give your heart to Jesus and resist him and tell him to go jump in the lake. Well, that sounds so easy. Well, it is. It just takes a little humility, humbling ourselves. I said, let me pray for you, because I'm not going to let the devil take people off the ground on my ground, on my watch. If I hear about it, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to love you enough to tell you the truth. The devil is trying to destroy you. And you have authority over him, church. We're the triumphant church. He cannot win. He's already been defeated. Jesus defeated him, but we have to enforce that defeat. You have to say, not in my life, not in my family, not to me. You're not going to destroy me. I am going to receive the promises of God. I'm going to walk in glory. I'm going to walk in power. And I'm going to love people, period. You're not going to destroy me. You're the enemy of my soul. Yes, my soul wars against my spirit. My mind tries to convince me to do what's wrong. And that's a lot of people's problem, what they're thinking on. If you're not thinking on the Word of God, or you're not thinking on the Lord, that's a lot of the problem. Because everybody knows what is worry. It's what? It's faith in reverse, basically. Trust in God in reverse. You trust in the devil's word or what you see. You start thinking about it. What could it be? What could happen out of this situation? I could be fired. I could, you know, and most of the time, none of those things ever happen. Most of the time, they don't even happen. You know, well, you could be killed on the road tonight, you know, but we don't worry about it because we know that our Father is with us. And even if you do get killed, you're going to heaven if you know Jesus. Hallelujah! Good news! I had a friend of mine, he worked at a 7-Eleven store, and I remember one time he said he seen this guy outside with a gun. I mean, he saw him standing, a pretty good size, you know, pretty good size gun. And he saw him out there, and he didn't know what was going to happen. Guy came in, had it in his pocket, apparently had a gun, still had it. Put it up to him like that, and he says, give me the money in there. He said, I'm not giving you the money. Well, I'm going to kill you. He said, that's all right, I'm going to heaven. Exactly what he told him. He goes, oh, I'm not going to kill anybody, he's going to heaven. He runs out of the store. See, the devil's afraid of you. We just need to know that. We didn't know who we talked to, see. They asked me at the day center, the one particular person I worked with, and they said, well, how come when that person's talking to themselves and I tell them to be quiet, they'll start up again, but when you talk to them, they don't. They might once, but they won't twice. I said, because I don't argue with them. I don't argue with him. See, I don't really talk to them. I talk to that devil behind it. And I said, you will be quiet. Oh, I'm supposed to do this. You better listen to me. You understand? You better listen to me. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to that spirit, that devil that's trying to tell them to keep everybody awake all night. I said, well, that's not a devil. You want to bet? I'll take you down. I'll show you some. And every once in a while, they'll try to act out on me, you know. But people don't want to be free. They don't want to. You know, they like those devils. Then you just have to toss them out. You know, toss them out with him, I guess. You know. We are merciful to them because they don't know what they're doing. You know, people get their insane. You know, they don't even know they're listening to the devil. You know. Well, who's going to tell them? Well, you are. You're going to tell them. That's right. Well, Brother Don, I thought that was your job. No, that's all of our job as children of God, to let people know what the problem is. The troublemakers, the devil. It's not your mommy and daddy. It's not your brother or sister. It's not your mean uncle or your drunk wife or husband. It's the devil. He's the one trying to destroy people. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now he'll try to use people if he can talk them into doing something. If he can talk them into it. But why, you know, if he's going to kill you, why didn't he take you off the planet? He couldn't. And he can't. Amen. Unless you let him. You have authority in your life. And you are triumphant in your realm, in your sphere. And the things that God gives you authority in. Every night I go to work. Well, almost every night. Most nights. Unless something happens right when I get there. But I go to work at midnight and get off at 8 or 9 in the morning usually. I'll spend that first hour. Most time, most people are sleeping or laying down. But I take that first hour just praying the Holy Ghost. Father, speak peace over them. We just pray for these people. These are your people, God. Yeah, but they're hopeless, homeless, helpless, addicted, bound by something. But God says, those are my people. See, the people God chooses aren't perfect. How many of you is perfect when you come to Jesus? You were just perfect. You weren't perfect. Otherwise, you wouldn't have needed him, right? But the Holy Spirit hovered over you and brought conviction to you. How many are glad he convicted you of sin? Amen. Hallelujah. If he doesn't convict of sin, how are you going to get saved? Hallelujah. There has to be some preaching done. They hear the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit's able to go to work. He said, I'll hover over him a while. I'll hover over him. You know, I have the opportunity to pray for some people, usually somebody, almost every night. Prayed for a guy the other night. I'm believing. His feet are normal. Hallelujah. Both feet. He's sitting in a wheelchair. And I said, I didn't know what happened. I thought, well, I didn't know if he was wheelchair bound or I hadn't been there very long. See, I came a couple days ago. And I got drunk with my buddies and we were out in the cold too long. I thought it was just the boots I had on, but I got frostbite on both feet. I said, well, I know that Jesus makes new feet. And I believe he can make them just like it never happened before. I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Amen. How many is going to keep laying hands on people? Amen. You believe in the doctrine of laying on of hands? You believe in that? Well, why do you believe in it, Brother Doug? Because Jesus believes in it. Well, they don't believe in that in my church. Well, maybe you need to find a new church. Because Jesus believes in it. So these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, I laid hands on him and I prayed. Just asked the Lord to, really just said, Lord, I thank you for healing him. Hallelujah. Laid hands on him. He says, I felt something. I said, that's a good sign. Doesn't matter, but that's a good sign. Hallelujah. How many know that's a good sign? Amen. He said, I felt something. Something happened to my feet. Hallelujah. I can't wait till they take them bandages off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know? Everybody says, well, did he get an instant miracle? I don't know, but how many of you, if you didn't get an instant miracle, you'll take healing? Hallelujah. Amen. Progressive until you're fully normal. How many do that, right? Hallelujah. They shall recover. It's not a maybe so, not hope so. I know. The healing power of God went into you, sir. That's what that was. It's the healing power of God. Oh, wow. I know something happened. That's for sure. I said, God's merciful. He loves you. Yeah, no, I got to get my life right. Hallelujah. Amen. See, when God starts touching people, they start thinking about getting their life right. You know, when people hit tragedy, they want to look up. Sometimes people are so hopeless, they become hopeless. They give up on life altogether. And they don't know if they'll ever change. I'm bound to this alcohol. I do good for a while and then I fall. I'm bound to these drugs. I do good for a while and then I fall. I was talking to a lady one night. She seemed sweet as could be. And the next night she came in and couldn't make sense of anything. She wouldn't do anything we asked. She's just very stubborn. Something's wrong. You know, something was really wrong. She's following people around, not even realizing what she's doing. Following this guy around, follows into the bathroom, goes in the kitchen, won't go out, won't stay out. You know, you don't want to really kick somebody like that out of some place. You want to keep them safe. Apparently she smoked that K2, you know. They said she's got a chemical imbalance. I said, I know. You know, they didn't think so. They just thought she's off her meds. But I said, I think she's done something else. You know, and we had to call an ambulance and have them come get her. The guy tried to talk to her and he says, no, ma'am, where are you? She just kind of stood there. You know, well, sir, ma'am, if you don't answer me, I'll have to call the police. You know, you can go with them or you can go with us. You know, oh, I'm at the day center. What year is it? 1668. You know, okay, everybody knows it's not 1668. You know, and it was quite a battle, but we got her on the gurney, got her on the cart, you know, that they take them with. We had to hand, well, they had called the police, the ambulance guys, so he handcuffed one side, I handcuffed the other side of her to the cart so she wouldn't jump off. So they can get her in the ambulance and get her some help. Thank God for doctors and medication, I'm telling you. I'm grateful. It does help some people, it really does. Well, they can get their minds straight long enough to hopefully make a decision for Jesus, amen. You know, I know it's not the best thing, and I know people need to be delivered. But until they want to be or until they can be, they need some help. Amen. So there's some people who might be listening to me today. He said, well, I'm on medication. Don't stop taking it. Just keep believing God. Keep speaking to yourself. Hallelujah. Like the gal that I knew or the person I knew, they kept she kept talking to her sugar problem, her diabetic problem. One day she didn't feel right. They rushed her to the hospital and she'd been confessing, I'm not a diabetic. And the doctors told her, they said, well, the problem is you took diabetic medicine and you're not diabetic. Hallelujah. She got what she said. Hallelujah. So just keep going until you see that. Keep speaking to it. Don't stop. Just because you need temporary help doesn't make you weak. Doesn't make you out of faith. Has nothing to do with your faith. Has to do with keeping you sane to receive what God has given you. Okay. You know, my wife just went through surgery back in November. I don't know if some of you knew that. Some of you may not have, but She had so much pain. She's having terrible pain. She calls me at work. It's 12:30 at night. So I went in the back room and got back in the storage room. I said, I just need to be gone from the desk for a while. I told the other night manager, I said, I'll be back. I think I was there about an hour or so with her on the phone. We were just praying and asking God. I said, Lord, we break this and praying. I really didn't have any great alarm, but something's wrong. The pain seemed to lift for a while, then it came back, and yet so bad she's just almost, she's just crying in pain. And so, if you are not getting a result, we decided, well, I think maybe we should get you checked out. Because I kept thinking, what kept coming to me is, I said, there's something with your, maybe it's your, appendicitis, something with your appendix. I said, that's what I was kind of getting from the Lord. That's what I believe it is, Okay, so I had called. I couldn't just leave my post and right away, and I knew that. And it's late, so I called Sister Kelly Bell, and she went down there faithfully to stay by her side in case there needed to be a decision or something happens. You can call me. It's not that far. I can rush over to the hospital, give you a decision. That God's the healer. Hallelujah. That's my decision. We didn't stop believing God. Amen. But anyway, they did some tests, and her blood count was very low. I think it's supposed to be somewhere around 12 or something. It's down to about 7 and dropped another point overnight. So they said, well, we'll have to give you some blood, a couple units of blood, and we'll give you surgery in the morning. After they looked things over, it was a couple days later. They didn't think, they weren't sure. They just saw something on the scan. They didn't know if it's appendicitis exactly, but they did see some fibers on her uterus, and so they're bleeding, and that's what's probably caused most of the problem, most of the pain. So they took that out. They also took her appendix out. Well, when they did the work on the appendix, they found a tumor that was cancerous tumor, but praise the Lord, it hadn't spread. Hallelujah. How many know you got healed of cancer? Didn't know you had. Hallelujah. Took care of that problem too. So God's good. No matter what you go through, don't stop believing. If you have to have temporary help, then take it. Don't be condemned. Just say, Lord, I'm going to keep believing you. I know that you're the healer. Don't start cursing the doctor and tell him, oh, that doesn't hurt. No, it does. No, tell him he's working in the natural. You're working from the spiritual. Be honest. Be truthful with him. But don't stop believing God. See, yes, it hurts, but I know that God's a healer. You can tell him that. Oh, yeah, brother. Well, how many knows? Anybody had seen something one day looks one way, the next day it's different? Have you ever had no money one day, and the next day you seem like you was rich? Somebody gave you $20, maybe they gave you $1,000 or $10,000. Hallelujah. One day you may not have what you need, the next day you do. And you didn't even know it was coming. Hallelujah. I've had things like that happen to me. I was thinking about something today. I said, there was three, since 2011, I've had three different cars given to me. I said, my Lord, now I don't remember really asking for very many, but I said, Lord, this is kind of interesting. It's been kind of progression. Each one's just a little bit better. Thank God. I can't wait for the next one. Hallelujah. But how many know sometimes some wheels is better than no wheels? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I guess I just kind of came out of the chute tonight preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 real quick. Let's read a scripture. Let's read a scripture. It's fine. Proverbs 4:20. Let's just start with the 20th verse. It says, my son, how many are sons of God? That's God talking to you right now. Hallelujah. This is the word of God. He's talking to us right now. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. How many think that means read it, look at it? Amen. Hallelujah. Been looking at God's word. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's word is life. See, there's life on the inside of you. When we take God's word and we say it to the situation, whatever situation we're in, we begin to release faith into that situation. Well, I just don't think it's working, Brother Doug. Well, I know. What are you saying? You just told me it's not working. You're getting just what you said. But I'm telling you, it is working. God said it's working. God said we're going to have what He wants from the prayer center. Did you hear that prophecy? That word that He said? He said, it's going to be just what I said is going to happen here. You're going to have My revival. He called it His. Hallelujah. You weren't trying to do it yourself, were you? Amen. How many ever done that? I've done that. I'm guilty. I plead guilty. I got all nervous. God told me to go to Africa in February of 2009. Now, I didn't just rush off to Africa. It was 2011, September, before I went. But I'm getting ready to go to Africa, and I know God's told me to go, and the door had opened, and there was a connection. But I'd never been to Africa, so I was a little nervous. I thought, oh, Lord. Oh, man, Lord, I'm going to Africa. You sure you want me to go to Africa, God? You know? Like, oh, boy, you know? Everybody been there? Couldn't you give me a confirmation, God? And He's like, you don't need one. What do you mean? I know you're telling me to go, Lord, but I'm just a little nervous, you know? And God said something to me. He said, son, He just calmed me right down. He says, why don't you just let Me be who I am in you? In other words, He's saying, you don't think you're going to do it yourself, do you? I'm going to help you. Why don't you let Me be who I am in you? Why don't you let Me do it in you and through you? Oh, and I don't know why, but I'm like, oh, okay, we can do that, Lord. You know, and peace begin to come. Hallelujah. You know, because sometimes we take responsibilities for things that aren't ours. Now, we're to prepare. We're to pray. We're to seek God. We're to, you know, be prepared in ourselves and be ready for God to use us, right? Amen. Doesn't mean we do nothing. When the Bible says wait on the Lord, He's talking about seeking Him, spending time with Him, fellowshipping with Him. They that what? Wait on the Lord, not those that sit there. What do you do? I'm waiting on God. Well, you know, while you're waiting, we're supposed to be praying, believing, seeking Him, reading His Word, letting His love letter become a part of our life so that there's life on the inside of us. So that when He does say, go, life is giving out. Amen? See, we hold forth His Word. Hallelujah. The Bible says we'll shine like stars in the universe to a crooked and perverse generation. Where are we living? In a crooked and perverse generation. And everybody that doesn't know Jesus is usually crooked or perverse or both. Hallelujah. Amen. Many times that's true. Now, I'm not saying there's not good people, but how many know it doesn't matter how good you are? It's not going to get you to heaven. You're not going to get good enough to let God let you in. It's not going to happen. Well, why should I let you into heaven? Could you imagine that? Go before God. Well, I was just good. I loved my wife and I took good care of my children. I worked hard, Lord. You know, I made a lot of money. Made a lot of money. You know, I can see man's idea. You know, made a lot of money. Well, that's, you know, got lots of pavement, Lord. You know, you know, you stand before the Father. You know, and we're standing before Him. Just think about it. You know, all of our things. Why would I go to heaven, Lord? I've been a good person. I just did all good things, you know. That's, you know, and you didn't know. You lied at least 10 times, you know. You know, at least once, you know. And you're knowing. And pretty soon, God just opens up you and you see your whole life. Oh. And you realize, I rejected the Master. I rejected the one that was trying to save me, that paid the price for me. Isn't that sad? The price was paid and I refused it. I rejected it. I wouldn't take His gift of free salvation that cost Him His Son. He paid for it. Oh, and the hopelessness that would fill a person's heart, knowing that for all eternity I'll never have opportunity to know the God that made me. We have an opportunity, folks, to lead the people around us to Jesus, to give them hope of a future, to give them hope of children that grow up and be a blessing to them, to give them a hope. See, when you're not saved, you don't have hope. You have no guarantee. How's my children going to turn out? Well, I hope they turn out good, but the Bible says our children are an heritage to us. They can be a blessing to our life. It's part of the promises of God. Hallelujah. You know, I think about Gary. His kids tried to go to hell. All of them came to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And all of yours will come to Jesus if you'll start calling them in. Amen. All of my family's coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, my little brother, he came here because I called him in. When he was 10 years old, I got him filled with the Holy Ghost. And some people got real mad about that. Called my parents. You had no right. I said, I know it. You know, I didn't know what was right. I didn't know what to do. It's too late now, you know. But that was instrumental in keeping his life. They moved away. I was older, quite a bit older than him. I'd already graduated high school, and they moved away to New Jersey and left me in Oklahoma City. You know, they moved away, and sometimes he'd tell me, you know, he said, you know, sometimes we did some things that was wrong, but I'd come home and I'd pray in those tongues. I could still pray in those tongues. I knew I was still saved. If nothing else, isn't that worth it? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here to help us. He's not giving up on the church of God. He's not giving up on you. It doesn't matter if devastation has tried to take you out. Maybe the enemy has slammed your life. Maybe everything's gone south. Maybe it looks like it's all over, and I don't know if there's, you know, it's just everything for you to just say, Lord, thank you for saving me. If that's all you have left, then begin again. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit, but continue on, because He is the God of restoration. He is the God that will set men free. He is the God that knows the deepest hurt and knows the greatest need. He's the God of the valley. He's the God of the mountaintop. He's the God of the in-between. Hallelujah. And He knows how to take that mountain and make it a plain for you to just walk across it where you got a highway. Glory to God. And normally He'll give you a truck to drive in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Because you got to start picking up speed. We're going to start going a little bit faster and faster. You're going to walk with Him, and the glory of God is coming in. We're going to see miracles and signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And changed lives for an eternity. Do we really grasp it? Do you get excited when people get saved anymore? Are you still excited that people got their hearts to Jesus? Or did you get bored because it was a boring, because you heard that message 1,000 times? Hallelujah. Pray in tongues. I said pray in tongues. Don't stop. It's changing your life. I heard it 1,000 times. Well, hear it again. Let it be alive on the inside of you until you love it. Until all I want to do, Lord, is to know you. All I want to do is to walk with you. All I want to do is to obey you, Lord. I want to be your servant that's obedient even to the point of death. And if necessary, death in the natural. See, we stick our, you know, our death is mostly to the flesh. You see? A lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, they would run out in front of the car for you, but they won't spend time in their prayer closet to die for you, to die to their own self. They won't give an hour or two to intercede for somebody that's sick. You know? How many times have we gotten the call? And, oh, yeah, we're going to pray for him. I'll pray for you, you know. Did you? I'm not condemning anybody. But how many have had a time, maybe there was a time or two, you didn't start praying. It didn't hit you. You didn't allow the Holy Spirit to take hold together with you and stop something that the enemy tried to do. Maybe save their life. Yeah, but I don't know if that person You know, did we think it's not that important? Do you know what they're going to do? How do you know they weren't the next Billy Graham? How do you know they weren't the next T.L. Osborne? How do you know they weren't the next mother or father? Or person that would come and birth in revival? See, we look at all the greats. All of us like shiny things. We all like to have money. We all like to enjoy life. And there's nothing wrong with that. But is it at the expense of people losing their life? Is it the expense of us not being willing to lay down everything to follow Him wherever He would lead? Yeah, but you just don't understand what He's asking me to do. I know. You said, well, how do you know? I'm telling you, I've had the same visions as you. You know, God starts showing you some things that He's called you to do. And you thought, you know, sometimes we think, no, Lord, if it was something simple, I could do it. You know, like we could do it ourselves. And we can't. You know, He shows you something big and huge. Say, I don't know how to do that. It's like, duh, you know, duh-ug, you know. You know, I said, Lord, I don't know how to do that. Not only that, I don't know how to make that happen, you know. Hallelujah. Some of you have calls to masses. Some of you have calls to, you know. But whether it's a million or one, what's the difference if we're in the Son and we're in the Father and fellowship with Him? You know, I heard Gary, you know, great church called, you know, God said no. Well, you know, how many know? You got 2,000 people, pretty good offering, right? Ah, well, they only gave $1 a piece. Well, that's a pretty good offering, you know. How many services preach? Just three, you know, three services, you know. Hey, I'm telling you, in the ministry, preaching, that's the littlest part you do. You know, it's all the preparation and the prayer. Seek God as part of the ministry. Then you may have to work, you know, like pay bills and make sure everything's running just right. You know, get all the paperwork done. Call the tax man. Well, brother, I don't know about all that. I didn't ask for that. I just want to be in the ministry. Well, you might have to set up the chairs in your own meeting. Me? Yeah, you. I'm a woman. God will give you somebody. But you might have to make sure it gets done. Right? Hallelujah. How many know that the ministry is W-O-R-K? Yeah, but I'm lazy. I know. That's why you need to pray. I'm sorry. I should say everybody around you knows anyway, right? Everybody knows that, you know. I'm starting to see it because I started to pray a little bit, and, you know. Say, I got a job. Everybody said, praise God, you know. And I'm not condemning anybody. If you saved up your money and you're praying, praise the Lord. If God's providing for you, fantastic. But if He's not, get a job. Don't live off everybody else. Not even mom and dad. Hallelujah. But God's not finished with us yet. If there's chaos in your life, the Holy Spirit wants to continue to hover over you. He's just going to hold His position. He's going to comfort you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you to take the Word of God. And He's going to hear that Word and you're going to speak it forth. Abundance be! It'll begin to come to pass in your life. Hallelujah. You know, there is an outpouring of His. Well, hallelujah. I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Lord. But God wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to have hope right now that He's still working. You know, the Bible says we go to sleep, but God doesn't sleep. God doesn't sleep. Amen. He can work while you're asleep. Well, Brother Doug. You think God may think God sleeps? Bob said He don't sleep or slumber. Hallelujah. He's always on the move. He's trying to get us to that place where He has called that bride to be without spot or wrinkle, that His fullness can come forth, that the earth can reap the harvest, that the church can reap the harvest, I should say, that it was destined for. There's men's lives hanging in the balance. Will we lay down our lives, take up our cross, follow Him, be obedient, no matter what it is, how small it is? Smallest things are important to Him. You know, I remember Dave, he said, I don't know why, I just don't think about it. You know, times we don't think it's important when the guy, you know, when you keep your word to the person that others esteem low. Maybe it's a homeless person, but you told them you'd be there at 4 o'clock. You show up. Even if they don't come, you be there. See, when you keep your word, God's going to keep His word to you. It's showing character. And it's showing God development and maturity. How many know a child, you don't give them more until they show that they are able to handle it? Amen? You know, most people, you know, when I was 16 years old, you didn't go out and buy a BMW. Nice sports BMW, you know, it runs fast, right? I didn't get a Corvette. You know, no, I might have got one, but it was way old, you know. Way old, you know. I got most of the cars that were real old. And I was thinking about that. I thought, well, me and my friend, I was like 16, maybe 17, got my car, found one for $800. Woo, it was a doozy. Little Datsun, you know. For those that don't know, I think they became Nissans later, or right about the time I got my Datsun, you know. So anyway, and I thought, gee, you know, we were so mature. We didn't fix the thing. We just push it. You know, the starter went out. You don't think, you know, you think you're so smart, you know, but you didn't. I didn't think, hey, let's get a new starter and put it on. I might have later. We were thinking about it. Yeah, we'll get to it sometime, you know. We didn't care. We'd just push that car down the road, and I'd jump one side, he'd jump the other. We'd go, you know. Pop the clutch, here we go. Woo! You know. We didn't care if we have to go 500 miles, you know. But God wants us to walk across the street to our neighbor. Why don't you take him a loaf of bread today? We didn't even know. Her son passed away last night. I didn't even take time to hear. All I knew is I was supposed to take him some bread, Lord. Little things can make a big impact on people's life. I said one sentence to one man at a conference and paved my way to go to Africa. Paved the way. Opened a door that I couldn't open. And I didn't even remember what I said. 2 years later, we get there because they'd invited us. Been invited by a lot of people to go to Africa before that time. I finally had to say no. Well, don't you want to come to Africa? I said, no, I don't. I mean, if God's not telling you, it's at least not time, right? Or you got to keep them with you all the time so you know when to come back, right? I mean, if somebody else sends you, then you got to keep them with you, because otherwise, because you can't hear God. Apparently, they know more of God than you do, than about your life than you do. And I think we got a Father that's smarter than that, and He's going to tell you. Hallelujah. But anyway, I said one sentence, and I got there, and he says, "Do you remember what you told me?" I'm trying to think, you know, and you know, he's a real nice guy and wonderful. I said, no, I really don't, you know. And you know what I said to him? I said, and I think it was one of the conferences we were talking about hearing from God. And I said, brother, what's the Lord saying to you today? What's the Lord saying to you today? That's all I said. Just shaking his hand. Hey, what's the Lord saying to you today? I don't even remember saying it, you know. Just came up out of my spirit, apparently. Have you ever done that? You accidentally got led of God. Amen. You know, there was one time in my life, I remember, I was trying to be led by God. I said, Lord, I'm trying to be led by you. He said, well, right now, son, I'm leading you more accidentally than I am on purpose. I said, okay. You know, because I wasn't hearing him that great, apparently. You know, but your spirit will do things, and you'll say things, and you'll be in the right place at the right time if you believe. Amen. Begin to speak it. Believe it. God directs my steps. Amen. How many believes that? He said, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the lamp of the Lord, the light of God. And the more we spend time hovering, worshiping, ministering to the Holy Spirit, letting Him minister through us, ministering to the Father, worshiping Him, praying in other tongues, listening, meditating that word, speaking it over our life, allowing those truths that we've so maybe even become a little weary to or accustomed to, so much so they don't mean what maybe they should. And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. There's times I don't take it as serious as maybe I should. You know? Lord, this is serious. And sometimes we get caught up with our agenda. The other night I thought, you know, oh, I really wanted to read my Bible, and people kept interrupting me, you know, and I'm reading my Bible and I want something. And I thought, man, you know, in my own self, I'm kind of in your flesh, you know, you're getting a little irritated. Hey, I'm trying to read my Bible, kid, you know. You guys go to sleep, you know. People get up in the middle of the night, you know. And there were several people walking around, but this one lady, she says, I know some girl, she's like 23. She's got some problem. This other girl says, talk to him. He'll help you. Now, this is the same lady that went insane the next day or a couple days later. But anyway, she says, talk to him. He'll help you. You know, he preaches, you know. Some of them know I preach, you know. And that's fine. Or I'll pray for him anyway. I don't care. Especially at night, you know. And I got a good coworker now, and she don't care. So, you know, they don't mind. We'll get some people healed and freed. But anyway, I got to talking to her, and she got healing in her body, and some healing partially at least, and got it started. She said, I got all these problems. She's only 23 years old, and she's sick. You know, and I thought, gee. You know, but then we got talking, and I said, well, what you need to receive the Holy Spirit. And she just sat and listened, and she says, well, I want that. I said, you can have that. Right there, we just begin to pray. I said, just ask Him. The words will come. She just started praying in tongues right there. She said, I think I knew what I said. I think I understood it. Yeah. I said, wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, I think I was praying out my purpose. I said, amen, sister. I mean, I didn't tell her that. Hallelujah. You know, that's what I want to find, my purpose. Just keep praying in those tongues. Amen. You people started on that path. See, the Holy Spirit began to enlighten that spirit. It is the candle of the Lord. He'll bring everything to light for your life. It calls that spirit man to continue to grow, continue to see, continue to allow the very life of God to be poured into you and through you for those that God has called you unto. Amen. Hallelujah. I think I'm finished there. I'm just going to stop right there, Lord. Because, you know, preachers, it doesn't mean much, but, you know, but I am stopping. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, you know, we have to know that the Father is fully love. We need to know that. People need to know that. You know, the Bible said, The Lord is merciful. His mercy endures forever. You know, and sometimes people will tell you, but you don't know what I've done. And you don't know how good He is, how forgiving He is. One of the basic needs of man is to be forgiven. Do you know that? They said there's only 4 or 5 basic needs of man. One of those is to be forgiven. When you forgive somebody, so I forgive you. I feel good. Makes them improve. You know, they feel released. Hallelujah. You know, somebody does something, it's important to forgive. But people need to know that love that the Father has for them in His desire to help them. He didn't come down here so that, to leave us alone. He didn't. He didn't send the Holy Spirit for no reason. Hallelujah. He's our friend. He's the one that's going to stand right here with us. He's not going to let go. You know, when you feel abandoned, He didn't leave you. Feelings change with the wind. Hallelujah. We know that even when we could be asleep, He's hovering over us. He's working on the situation. He's trying to bring good back to you and to work out every situation the best that He can. Yeah, but I did it to myself. I know everybody does at one time or another. Yeah, but I caused it. His mercy endureth forever. The Bible says His love never fails. That means it doesn't come to an end. It doesn't fade out. Fail is just another word to die. It doesn't die. His love never dies. It never stops. It keeps coming and coming and coming. And He's going to do everything He can to help you to fulfill all that God has called you to do. To find and fulfill that. If you'll just open your heart and say, Lord, okay, I'll let you. I'll let you. See, He hovers over the unsaved. He's waiting for them to make that confession of the Lord Jesus. He's waiting for that words, the words of their heart most importantly. Yes, Lord, I give my life to you. How many think it's the words they speak with their tongue that's so important? The important thing is the heart. The Bible says we believe what? In the heart. Then the mouth says it. I believed it. I already have it in my heart. You know, that's why the mouth says it. Jesus, be Lord of my life. You are Lord. Paul said it, didn't he? He said, who art thou, Lord? Amen. God's looking for those that, I mean, there's somebody that was killing people, murderous. God wanted to redeem. Yeah, but that was a... No. There was a man that said, I'll give my life. I'll pray and I'll release him so that God is free to go after him. And that was Stephen. Don't you think that was important? Yeah, but he didn't do what Paul... No, he didn't do what Paul did. He didn't do everything he did. He had a few revivals. His life ended in martyrdom, didn't it? And we need to be willing to go there if necessary. We don't know what the future holds even in this nation. They may be wanting to put you in prison for preaching the name of Jesus. But we're not going to stop. We're not going to be ashamed. We're going to see the glory of God. How we believe God still knows how to open the prison door. Hallelujah. Are you going to run away? Are you going to stay there and say, oh, wait a minute. You got to get saved first. God showed me. Well, no, we're all... I mean, God didn't open one door. God's just too much. He's always too much. You know that? You notice that? You think the rest of the prisoners were all saved? Probably not. They might have been by the time Paul and Peter got done with them. We don't know what else they said in there. They knew they was worshiping God real loud at midnight. Hallelujah. But let's commit ourselves to continue and know. Just know the Holy Spirit's with you. He's hovering over you. He's working on your situation. Go to sleep. Let the Holy Spirit work. Let God work. God, thank you, Lord. I'm going to bed. I know you're working on it. Hallelujah. I know you're changing things, Lord. You're even changing my heart, Lord. Thank you. I'm going to sleep now. Hallelujah. It's been a great day. Anything else, Lord? Okay. He might tell you, you know, something else. Well, would you mind going such and such place? I'm tired. I don't feel like it. I know you are. He knows that. I remember one time I wasn't really complaining, but I was just asking the Lord. I'd worked like 17 hours, and they wanted me to preach here. And I'm asking the Lord. I said, boy, Lord, that's a lot, you know. He said, sometimes my soldiers don't sleep much. Soldiers don't always sleep much, is what he told me. I said, oh, okay. No problem. I mean, I wasn't upset. He said just like that. Soldiers don't always sleep much. He said, we're to be good soldiers. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying, you know, that you just run yourself ragged. There's times when I've gone too far, pushed my body too much, and then, you know, sometimes sickness will come on you that way if you're not careful. You know, I did get sick a couple days because of that. I believe it was because of that. I run my body down so far. Slept 3 hours one day, went back to work 17 hours. Slept 2 hours, went back to work 17 hours. Well, that's not easy. Now, I've done it before and it didn't happen, but, you know, if you keep doing that and run your body down, you know, maybe there's something you had to do and you know that. And God's understanding and He's merciful and He healed me. Hallelujah. Got well. But we have to also use God's law, God's will, you know, His plan. It's all about following Him. Amen.